want to generate more revenue and you think it's because your sales team isn't qualifying leads properly, well, the problem isn't that they're not putting data in the right place in HubSpot,
mm-hmm.
or that they don't have a good integration creating quality leads. Those could be problems, but oftentimes it's you don't have a CRM set up that makes for easy use. So they're not logging out in every day and doing what they want to do their job successfully. They're logging.
Welcome to Revamp. I'm your host, Mark Lerner, Director of Growth Marketing at DealHub. And today's episode is a really fascinating conversation with Cameron Collins, a RevOps strategist at Rev Partners. Cameron and I were able to chat on the sidelines of the very busy and sometimes loud inbound conference, the HubSpot conference earlier in September of this year. And we talked about all sorts of things from the evolution of revenue operations, discussing the role of RevOps and how it's changing and the impact of new technologies like AI and the growth of the overall HubSpot ecosystem. I should note that our conversation got cut off while we were at the event. And so we decided to have a second follow-up conversation, which has been added to this episode, as you'll see. So without further ado, I give you this fantastic conversation with Cameron Collins at Rev Partners.
So my company, RP, we create RevOps as a service.
Right, yeah.
And so that's our whole focus. Hubolution was created to drive adoption, not just like to get us business, but to create adoption of the HubSpot CRM. And more than that, though, we manage, run, engage with the largest HubSpot community of admins. So it's the Sprocketeer community. And so really the end goal is just to get more people using HubSpot and to grow RevOps as an industry, as a career.
Yeah, that's actually really, that's kind of the topic I've been talking to a lot of people about because, you know, 3-4 years ago, I had to, before I started a role that was very focused on this space, I had to literally Google what is revenue operations, right? And fast forward, you know, a few years, that's no longer the case, but I'm sure I wasn't the only person doing that Google search.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, we're at the point now where it was the number one most sought after position on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And I think along with that, we're seeing a very, as you know, through the movement, you're seeing a big transition of a lot of folks coming to HubSpot that were at using different CRMs. And maybe those communities had a pretty well established kind of RevOps community. So I'm interested to see how you're seeing kind of new HubSpot users that are of the RevOps kind of role integrate their, you know, into the HubSpot ecosystem and challenges and successes and all that.
So a lot of what we're, I think a lot of people have very similar challenges. And I was talking with quite a few people last night about this where, you know, how do I be viewed not as a HubSpot admin, but as someone who should have a seat at the table? How do I get leadership to value my input and my buy-in rather than just make me more reports?
Right.
And I think that's a common trend is, well, build this. And so a large part of like the Hubolution as you know a movement is really on the adoption piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a big focus on getting to the why and challenging, which isn't easy for everyone, but challenging what are you asking me to do? Why are we doing this? And then like what are the knock-on effects?
Yeah.
And it's not always easy for everyone to do that at the same capacity, but so Rev Partners, we have I serve as a strategist, which is effectively an admin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll work with 4 or 5 maybe companies at a time. Everyone will be different, and some of them view my input differently. But ultimately, one of the things I make known is I'm not here to be a yes man.
Right.
And if you're looking for somebody that's just going to build stuff, like there are other companies that can and will do that.
Right.
But what we don't want is to build.
Right.
And it seems like part of the problem is if you ask 50, 100 different people, how do you define RevOps? You're going to get different results. And I did this last night. I was asking people, how do you define RevOps? They said, well, you know, I think it's helping my business make more money, or I think it's helping to align sales and CS and marketing, which are true. Our company defines it as the science of sustainable revenue growth.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's going to follow that definition, but part of the problem is that we don't have a common definition.
Yeah, it's like that with a lot of terms, in our space, right? What is growth? What is growth marketing? What is growth hacking? I think it means different things to different people. Unfortunately, a lot of times it just means a Salesforce admin to some people.
Yeah,
which is an unfortunate thing. And I think your mentioning of being able to empower people to have a seat at the table, a strategic role as opposed to just a tactical role, seems to be a common theme.
Yeah.
So, I guess. From your vantage point,
yeah,
what are some of the changes that have come about with some of the new, I guess, adoptees of HubSpot, some of their different needs? And then also, we're obviously in a kind of changing macroeconomic situation.
Definitely.
Has that changed the way people... So, for example, I think there was a long time where everyone assumed, get the best tool for every small aspect of your business and just tie them together. Has there been a shift back to kind of working with one platform and making it all work together? Simplifying.
Yeah. I'm definitely seeing a lot of...
Consolidation.
And people that will say, I want to do this, and I think I need to do this by integrating this and connecting that and then setting up an API for this. And oftentimes what people think they want, if you simply ask, why do you want to do this? Or if you give them the responsibility of, okay, we can do that, but the effect is you need to follow up with your sales team every Friday because you have this report. Like, I'm building this report. It's going to go out in an email. So as a part of that, your responsibility is you have to follow up every Friday. And sometimes they go, ooh, maybe we don't want to take that responsibility. So oftentimes understanding, okay, the problem is sales isn't generating enough revenue. Well, why?
Mm-hmm.
You want to generate more revenue and you think it's because your sales team isn't qualifying leads properly. Well, the problem isn't that they're not putting data in the right place in HubSpot,
mm-hmm,
or that they don't have a good integration creating quality leads. Those could be problems, but oftentimes it's you don't have a CRM set up that makes for easy use. So they're not logging out in every day and doing what they want to do to do their job successfully. They're logging in every day and they're going, okay, I need to make 100 dials. I need to send 100 emails. And then management goes, well, they made 100 dials. They sent 100 emails. Revenue's not there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not making it easy to do their role and let the data go where it needs to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We live in interesting times.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that, I've seen is there's definitely kind of this move to, let's consolidate instead of using, point solutions. Let's see how much our, single source of truth, in this case, HubSpot can do. And then, add the things on where, it leaves off. One of the conversations that I seem to be getting into over and over again, even when I'm trying not to, is the role of AI and the changes it's making. And I had a conversation last night with another implementation partner. And it very quickly went there. And I suspect that's going to be playing out over the course of the week. So how does AI fit into your workflow, into the kind of needs of your partners and clients?
I feel like those who aren't using it think AI is one thing and in actuality it's another.
Yeah.
So I talk with partners about this where they'll say, well, can we do this with ChatGPT, or can we use ChatSpot can we just ask it to analyze our reports? And this has been a big topic of the community. Now, my opinion is that AI is going to make our lives easier for those who adopt it and learn how to use it and use it responsibly. But it's not going to take jobs away. It's not going to make us work less.
Yeah.
It's just going to evolve how and where we're able to prioritize. So a lot of my day is spent in planning, and we have technologists that do a lot of implementation and building.
Yeah.
So a lot of my day is coordinating. And a byproduct, for example, is that instead of me having to sit down and spend a 30-minute discovery call on, who's your ICP, I can go in on ChatGPT, do a little...
Cameron, it's good to see you again. It's been about a month since we last talked on the very noisy sidelines of Inbound. I kind of wanted to pick up where we had left off in our previous conversation, because I think we were really kind of rolling and some of it got cut off. So I'm glad we're able to chat today. I think for me, there was a very obvious sense of us being in the middle of a kind of generational shift, that everybody kind of understood that nothing is going to be the same, whether it's due to technologies like AI, machine learning, or just generally kind of the way businesses are approaching things is from a go-to-market is shifting. And what are some of the kind of new and interesting ways solutions people are looking to implement that you're seeing?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, AI is a hot topic that everyone likes to talk about, but it's not something that we've seen partners proactively requesting an approach around. And so what I mean by that is, it is something that makes our role as a revenue operations professional a lot easier in some regards, because we can go into ChatGPT, for example, or ChatSpot and ask it to interpret a report or come up with sales stages for a specific industry, right? So it's something that can help us, because if we ask a partner something and they don't know the answer to it, now we have another resource that we can reach out to. I will say that it is still very much supplementary to, again, just being able to do your role well. I still use it secondary to reaching out to other people for questions and answers. So I like having a human element. Even if I go into ChatGPT, I'm still likely to run something by another human if I have a question. But it hasn't replaced any of our role at all. If anything, it's made it a lot easier. And partners, I don't think they understand the full depth that AI can bring to the table for them yet, which we might be around the corner from there. But an example would be during Yamini's keynote, when she was talking about rolling out ChatSpot and having a live chat AI on a website. That's not something that we've seen requested by partners. And in fact, oftentimes when we suggest something like that, it's waylaid by other priorities. So I think that even though AI is becoming more and more prevalent and it's becoming more normal, so to speak, for most partners that aren't in the tech world, so to speak, on a day-to-day, they're not in revenue operations on a day-to-day, they still see other priorities like sales motions or marketing motions, rather than how can we use AI to enable the customer experience. Which, again, that may start to shift, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
Yeah, and with regards to, sales motions, let's say, in particular, there was, for the longest time, it was kind of, in B2B, the sales motion was well understood and, repeatable. And, there was kind of the inbound motion, there was the outbound motion, it was, mostly kind of sales-led. There was a huge shift for a while where everyone was like, you need to do PLG, you need to do, and it was, again, one of those terms that wasn't super well defined and still isn't. One of the things I've noticed as, let's say, the macroeconomic situation has shifted, that there's been a rebound, and a lot of those companies that needed to go, that decided they were going all in on PLG, have pulled back a little bit and realized that that may not be the best solution. Are you seeing any of that happening, manifesting itself in your day-to-day? Are you seeing companies kind of trying to figure out how they, what is their sales motion and shifting that around? Or did that kind of not impact your, the companies you work with?
So interestingly, there's an 80% chance that if I ask a business, what are your sales motions, they don't know the answer. Which is not a bad thing about the partner necessarily. It just means that I think they haven't sat down to really think about, revenue operations, sales motions, PLG, SLG, right? How, like, they are thinking about, how do we make more revenue? How do we sell more stuff, right? How do we improve our marketing or our ad spend? And so when we take a step back and say, okay, what are your sales motions? Or what is your sales process? Even sometimes very basic questions, they don't necessarily have an answer to them. The good news for us is that that's part of our role, and my role is to help define and understand that. And so it's not even that they necessarily don't know their business, but maybe they don't know the terms, or maybe they just haven't sat down and had those conversations. So things haven't necessarily changed in my time in revenue operations in that regard. I would certainly love for a business to sit down and say, this is our business model, you know, plug it into ChatGPT. This is what we do on a day-to-day. What's our sales motion? That would be very cool. But I think that it allows us to simply add more value from a revenue operations perspective, say, okay, tell me about your business. And then if they don't know the answers to the questions that we have, now we can at least present them to that individual or to those stakeholders.
Yeah, I think it's the us marketers, and talking about myself, kind of come up with these terms and then just kind of use them to death, and people don't really know what they're talking about. You know, product-led growth was, you know, used to basically be, you know, if you had a free trial, that was in essence a product-led right. growth movement. And now it's like, you know, there's all this other stuff. But yeah, you know, I think that's actually a good thing, right? If people don't get, they don't in their mind have a fixed idea of like, no, we're a sales-led growth company. We can't even consider these other things. I think it actually is better, because if the last 3-4 years has taught us anything, is that nothing can be counted on to go on forever. Everything's changing all the time. And, you know, you have to kind of roll with the punches, and you have to adjust to the companies that kind of adjust and can deal with the changing environment that are going to do well. And I think that part of having the infrastructure to be able to adjust to the changing requirements is having someone in a revenue operations role that can kind of manage the back end of that. So shifting a little bit and kind of talking, going back into community a little bit, and, you know, we only touched on it briefly, but it's there in the background of your camera there, and it was all over everything in at HubSpot. And so, you know, you talked a little bit about the Hubolution movement, the hashtag. You know, we touched on it. It really kind of embodies this blend of community, technology, and human touch. But, you know, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how it came to be. I looked up its definition online and found it, but I would love to hear it from you. And, you know, what are your thoughts on the movement and its expansion and how it's influencing the RevOps space and the HubSpot ecosystem? And I'd just love to hear more about it.
Yeah, well, so I'm clearly big on definitions and standardizations, right? Yeah. As someone that loves strategy, being able to take something and then do it again and again, it's really important to me. When we talk about the Hubolution, the definition is the movement from antiquated CRMs over to HubSpot. Obviously, a very specific definition, something that was created by the revenue operations community. The term was coined by someone at Rev Partners, but the definition had been created by the revenue operations community as a means of saying, really effectively, we don't want to be confined by one CRM. And that's not even just Salesforce, right? But we don't want to be confined by one CRM. We don't want to be confined by one tool set. We want to be able to grow revenue operations, and we want to be able to enable revenue operations. Now, HubSpot happens to be very good at enabling RevOps, sales ops, marketing ops, revenue operations, because of the fact that it's so user-friendly. And so one of the really great things about the Hubolution, again, the movement from older CRMs, more difficult to use CRMs, over to easier to use ones, is that HubSpot is just easy to use. And so I have partners very regularly where they're stakeholders that aren't technologically savvy. Maybe they're in a physical space, like they're selling granite countertops, they're selling you know, physical services or products, and that's their bread and butter. And they're just now in 2023 saying, no, hey, I need a CRM and I need to bring my business online. And so the Hubolution is taking any business, enabling them to succeed with their CRM and with technology, and then using revenue operations to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so I did look up the definition, and there was a specific mention of the antiquated systems by name, which I'm glad we left out for, you know, political correctness reasons. But yeah, you know, it's this idea that, you know, the actual movement, you know, itself, you know, you have a picture of a cresting wave there. You know, what is that imagery? How is that representative of the movement? I can guess, but I'd love to hear the idea behind it.
Yeah, well, so we call it the orange wave, again, just the mass migration into HubSpot, which, yeah, one more component of this is that HubSpot, as I'm sure you know, started as a marketing platform, really great, robust marketing platform. And to be fair and to play devil's advocate, it evolved into a sales platform, and then again, an all-in-one or all-on-one platform, where now it does sales, it does marketing, and it does RevOps, and, you know, there's Ops Hub, all
these CMS, customer right success.
Exactly. Yeah. And so not only did it then start pivoting into all that, but then it started to pivot into an enterprise platform. And so the orange wave is the fact that HubSpot is not just for small businesses or medium businesses, it's really for everybody. And the byproduct of that is that it's easy to use, and that there's a community that enables everybody to use it. So the cresting wave just represents the fact that now we have this mass migration at all levels onto the HubSpot platform.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the imagery is really well done. And for all those who are listening and not watching, it has a very kind of Japanese art vibe to it, which I'm sure there's a name for that kind of art, but I didn't do so well in art history. But yeah, you know, I think the kind of you all had your own area in the hallways of Inbound where you just had kind of constant movement and excitement around this. And it was very exciting to see. So, you know, shifting gears again, you know, along with this Hubolution movement where you're seeing people kind of moving into the ecosystem, it does seem, especially leading up to and after Inbound, that HubSpot itself is adapting to this changing user base, or the, you know, more diverse use cases. And really kind of rolling out new features and aspects of the platform to support it. And I've seen a lot of this recently, and I've seen people kind of refer to that shift of the platform in the same terms as, you know, Hubolution. So maybe you can speak a little bit to that if you think, though, you know, it's a cause and effect, and some of the, you know, how you see that shift enabling people in RevOps roles to succeed more within the HubSpot platform.
Yeah, so everybody knows, everybody likes to buy, nobody likes to be sold. And people want their role to be easier. They want to make more revenue. Like, we all want these things, but a vast majority of us don't know how to get there. And so the shifts and the pivots and the growth that HubSpot has had over the past really even 12 months has made it accessible for everybody, because all of these features that, whether you knew you wanted it or you didn't, but all of these features that HubSpot now has, which 12 months ago and 24 months ago weren't available, it just makes it so that no matter really the size, the scale of your business, it's accessible. Now, if you are an enterprise business, you're going to use the enterprise hubs. If you're a small business, you might be on the free hubs. But those features that simply didn't exist and didn't give you the option to even consider HubSpot now make it so easy that you can just go into the platform. You don't need workarounds. You don't need a tricky way to implement a solution. It's just very easy to go in and do what you want or need to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I get access to beta features, and there's just every day, it seems like there's a new little tweak that, you know, on a surface, if you just kind of see it, you don't realize that there were hundreds, if not thousands, of users who have been waiting for this little tweak to the way a field is connected or whatever, that it like made, you know, their entire year has been made because of this. And it's really fun to see people react to that. You see it in, you know, in the Sprocketeer community, which you all manage. I see it on LinkedIn. So as we wrap this up, and I really appreciate your time today, maybe you could, you know, between now and next September, and I'm sure it's very hard to, you know, no one can read the future, but as we, you know, let's say it's September or late August 2024, and we're all getting ready to head up to Boston again, how do you think the HubSpot ecosystem will look then compared to now? You know, what kind of changes do you think we'll be seeing then?
I think it's going to be more robust, because at the end of the day, right now, again, there are a lot of features that people didn't, some people didn't even know they wanted, which have been released. I left town for 2.5 weeks. I come back, and the amount of time I've spent reading on product updates is just, it boggles my mind. So HubSpot's moving very, very rapidly. I think that this time next year, when we're post inbound, or, you know, just prior, when we're getting ready to inbound, the biggest difference is going to be in the conversations that have been had around new ways to solve old problems. And it's not that it's novel ways, but it's new ways that are going to make our lives easier, whether that's reporting, sales motions, marketing motions. There are just going to be so many more updates that, you know, when we're getting ready for inbound, it's going to be, hey, you know, how have you solved these problems? You know, and how have you solved these problems? So I think that we're going to have a lot of solutions that are just going to make our lives a lot easier between now and inbound next year.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it kind of boggles my mind to imagine, you know, what 12 months from now will look like compared to the last 12 months. As we wrap up, why don't you tell the folks at home where they can find you, where they can find Rev Partners, where they can find, you know, the Sprocketeer community, so they can engage further.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Cameron Collins. I'm all over LinkedIn. You can go searching for me on Instagram, Facebook, maybe less exciting on there. But I do post all kinds of fun stuff on LinkedIn, both revenue operations content as well as skits and videos that are both informational and sometimes
entertaining
on other CRMs. Yeah.
Yes, they're very entertaining.
So definitely find me on LinkedIn, Cameron Collins. I work for Rev Partners. We work with businesses and companies that are looking to grow and use revenue operations as a service. So whether you're brand new to RevOps, or you've been using a single employee for a long time, you can work with Rev Partners, and we'll provide revenue operations as a service. I'm also part of the Sprocketeer community. You can go ahead and type in Sprocketeer. I'm not going to spell it, but we'll have it in the show notes, I'm sure. But you can go ahead and type in Sprocketeer, pull up our website, download the Discord app, and it's a community. So it's the largest community for revenue operations professionals, where we all get together and help each other out. So if you have questions, you can ask them. If you are a RevOps pro, you can go ahead and show your expertise on there. And you'll see me on there super frequently and active. My username is Super Rev Optics,
yes,
which comes about from one of my early skits that I created.
Yes, those skits are very entertaining. You will also see me on there, and my hope is that I will get more of the folks that are active on there on this podcast and interview them. So Cameron, I really appreciate your time today. This was super interesting. Yeah, hopefully, you know, in 12 months, we'll be able to do a follow-up interview.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have some meetings and conversations between now and inbound next year, I'm sure. And then I'm very excited to see what we do post inbound 2024. Yeah. It's going to be wild.
All right.